Interview with the Podcast Vampire is a retrospective on the filmography of living legend Tom Cruise, hosted by Dale underscore A, Jonesy Loves Beer, and Slim.
Color of Money, Martin Scorsese, Tom Cruise. We're joined once again by Dale underscore A, VP of Merch.
Good evening, everybody.
And unpublished writer Jonesy Loves Beer, welcome back.
I'm actually working on the third part of the Hustler trilogy as we speak. It's going to be the next great American novel. Pretty heavy Mary Sue elements, if you catch my drift.
I'm not sure if I do catch what you're putting down at all, but we are going to be talking about The Color of Money. Let me just throw two words at you and let me know what the first thing that comes to mind. Paul Newman.
My love.
Buttery voice.
God, it's like a...
what every man should be. Should we keep going?
It's a chiseled, just real man voice. I don't know how else to put it. And Eric Clapton. Sure. Yeah, the other star of this movie.
Oh.
All right, so here we go. This is the Tom Cruise filmography. We're going through with the whole thing, his entire library, and we finally landed on The Color of Money, the one we've all been waiting for. It wasn't Top Gun. It was The Color of Money. And Jonesy, I mean, what is The Color of Money, for those that don't know?
So when last we left Fast Eddie Felsen, you'll know him better as Paul Newman in your hearts. He was muscled out of the pool game. You know, he goes back to the life of a whiskey salesman. I did get a chance to watch some of The Hustler before the show. So, you know, Eddie was a small-time hustler who worked at a whiskey company. We find him now back in this film as a whiskey salesman again. And whilst selling his product and kind of checking in on a current lover, he hears the wha-crack of a hammer-like pool break. And that hammer crack break belongs to none other than our boy Tom Cruise.
Looking very thin in this movie. I feel like he cat-like. Lost 20 pounds for this role.
Cat-like and agile. He moves like a pool-playing tiger in this film. Also studying the moves of Bruce Lee. With every time he shoots the pool, he must do a bow staff move with it. So Tom is accompanied by his backer slash girlfriend slash manager, Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. And she basically, along with Fast Eddie Felsen, convince Tom that he should take his pool talent to the next level and become a full-time hustler. So they pack up in Fast Eddie's Cadillac and they start to drive to these well-known pool halls by the hustler community. One is Ames, which played a big part in the first film. And Tom is not getting it. You know, he's a hot shot. He's a pistol. He reminds Eddie a lot of himself as a young man, as young pool sharp. So they have quite a tumultuous relationship as Paul Newman essentially brings Tom up in the world of high stakes pool and pool for money, with the end result being a tournament in Atlantic City. Along the way, there are some great small bit parts that would essentially make a lot of careers. John Turturro as, Fast Eddie's previous pupil. You also have Forrest Whitaker in a small role as a pool hustler that actually gets a leg up on Fast Eddie. So part of the story, Tom is essentially the second billing. He's a very important character, and he serves as the vehicle to both destroy, restore, and solidify Paul Newman as the number one pool player in the country, or I guess the number one pool for money player in the country. And in one of, and this is, you know, very not done a lot in Hollywood in this time, is to have a sequel at all. They were considered pretty gauche. But when Paul Newman agreed to come back as the title character, Scorsese agreed to direct, we got probably one of the best sequels of all time in The Color of Money. And it ends, the ending scene, I think, was like very Scorsese-ish, in which you don't end on the climax of the film. The climax of the film you would perceive to be the big pool game between Eddie and Tom. And instead, you end on a line by Paul Newman that leaves the ending up to your interpretation. And from what I understand, that was something that was pretty new to the scene, and Scorsese kind of making his mark with that ending. It's probably one of the most influential films of this era, and a lot like what The Hustler did in the 60s, it led to a resurgence in billiard playing across the country. Great movie, great travelogue, road trip film, and sports movie. It's ranked, I believe, on ESPN number 7 or number 6 sports movie of all time. The Color of Money with our boy, Tom Cruise.
Tom. I've never seen either of the movie. I've never seen The Hustler. I've never seen The Color of Money before. I only knew The Color of Money. What I perceived was not the case. I thought it was just an all Tom movie. Like, I thought Tom was the it guy, but to see, I have conflicted feelings about the movie itself. But Paul Newman won Best Actor. He won the Academy Award for this, and I can see why. Like, he's just so good as his character, but he's just acted as this guy, and it was just like he was this smooth Fast Eddie. Like, he was so impressive as this.
Yeah, he was amazing in this movie, and I had the same vision that you had. I thought this was a Tom vehicle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I went in kind of with a mindset that slowed my interpretation of the movie after it was finished.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was waiting for Tom to stop being just a total idiot about the whole thing. Like, the whole movie, I was like, Tom, what is your problem? Like, and then he's like getting real physical with his girlfriend. I was like, what is going on here? When is this redemption coming for Tom? And it never came. And it actually got worse, really, for Tom during the whole movie. And then, so that, like, midway, I was starting to, like, wonder, it was like, when is that going to happen in this movie? And then you get to the point where it shifts to Paul Newman. And I knew the history of The Hustler at this point, and I knew, halfway through the movie, I quickly wikied what happened to Paul Newman at the end. He was essentially run out of town. His girlfriend at the time killed herself because he was focused on billiards, and he won against the big boss, and they told him to never play big pool again, ever. And so that's where you find him decades later. And so the end of the movie shifts to Paul Newman kind of reinvigorated at the on the pool scene, and it ends with this kind of open to interpretation. He's back on the pool scene again. And I, at the end of the movie, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
So what happened here?
So was I.
Two of the most BA lines in the film. First, Tom Cruise walking back into the pool hall after he's kind of been jilted by Eddie the first time. And, you know, one of the guys is like, hey, what do you got in that case? And he just looks at him and goes, doom. Like, that was a great line because you knew he was about to lay his thing down. Mm-hmm. And then the final line of the movie. So, real quick, Paul Newman decides that he gets hustled by Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker could have won an Oscar just for that scene alone.
That performance was incredible. So Paul Newman basically decides he goes back to rebuild himself. Like, he can't believe he got taken. So he goes back and rebuilds a skill. He learns how to hustle again, kind of like from the ground up. He reinvigorates himself. He goes into the Atlantic City tournament. He enters. The final match is between him and Tom Cruise.
Not even final match. It was like quarters.
It's the semifinals.
Quarters. Because the semis.
Quarterfinals or semifinals?
He forfeited in the semis.
You're right. So in the quarterfinals, he goes against Tom and wins. And there's this great moment where he's like, Tom or Julian, whatever his name is. I told you, you know, sometimes the ball rolls this way and I'm really sorry. And, you know, I'm grateful for the journey we had together. He walks outside and he like silently cheers like, in that moment, he's got it back. And then the reveal of the movie is Tom Cruise, like a snot, shows up and was like, here's your cut. I took a fall. You aren't really that good. I just played you. I hustled you. So,
which was amazing because Tom learned the hustle and it blew up in Paul Newman's face in that scene, which was heartbreaking.
Oh, I was crushed for Fast Eddie Felsen.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, especially when he has his, like, he keeps his composure the whole time he leaves the match after beating Vince. And then he, like, just sneaks on outside the side door at the casino and he yelps and he throws his hand up. Like, he's that excited. He composes himself back up. He walks back in the door and starts walking through the casino again. And it's like, he was on top of the world. He's celebrating with his lady back in the hotel room. And then, boom, like all of a sudden, like Tom has the wherewithal. Like he can't do it the whole movie. I'm waiting an hour and 50 minutes because I'm thinking it's like, this is like, I thought this was a Tom Cruise movie. I thought this was... like he was in Top Gun, he was the prominent role in all these movies. So but he never learns it until he's humble enough to lose to Fast Eddie, so he can get his cut, make all that money, and give. Like he thought Eddie would be proud of him, but man, it was so.
Yeah, he really walked into that hotel room like, Eddie, I learned from you. You like, I finally got what you're trying to tell me. So Fast Eddie forfeits because he couldn't prove it to himself that he was the best player. So he forfeits in the semis. He meets up with, what's his name? Tom Cruise. He meets up with Tom in like the money rooms where like the real pool goes on after these big tournaments.
I wonder if at one point outside of the movie, did the green room exist at Resorts Casino and Hotel in Atlantic City? Like, there's no way, right?
We should Google that.
Had to have been true if Martin Scorsese agreed to do a film about it. There's some semblance of truth,
I guess,
maybe.
So.
I'll say that much.
So in the final scenes of the movie, Tom is led to believe that they're going to play for Fast Eddie's cut. But Paul Newman... and it says, I just want your best game. Like, I don't want any money. I want to prove that I still got it. And they go into this discussion, like, Tom Cruise is like, well, what are you going to do when I wipe your butt up and down this pool table? Like, you don't have a chance of beating me. And I'm paraphrasing, but he says, like, you know, and if that happens, I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to play you again. And then I'm going to play every person across this country to prove that I'm the best. And Tom is kind of left dumbfounded, and he just goes, "Because I'm back." And he turns around and breaks the rack, and that's when the movie ends.
Let you use it.
Which, there's a lot of scenes I want to talk about, but that scene I was very lukewarm on because, you know, they had the scene in the hotel where Tom reveals that he laid down for the money, and Paul Newman's, like, lover is in town, and, you know, she is witnessing this unfold, and Tom leaves, and he's like, what a prick he is. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, let's go to the Bahamas. This is it. Finally, we're out of here. And they meet up in the money room, and Paul alludes to he's going to go to every city now. In 2 weeks, he's going to every city. And I'm thinking about this poor woman who is thinking about the Bahamas, and I'm like, Paul, you can't do this. You just promised this woman and broke your promise like four times. You can't go to these events. You got to take her to the Bahamas.
Because he was so genuinely happy to see her when she showed up. Because all he could do was think about her while he was on the road trip. Because he did her so wrong. She shows up and he was genuinely happy to see her. And like, this is it. This is Paul Newman. He's going to start acting right. He's going to take her to the Bahamas finally. And then no, like you don't, and you don't even see her reaction.
Right. Like I was waiting for her to flip out. So like, I'll see you in Dallas next, Vince. And I'm waiting to cut to this wife or this woman who's like, excuse me, we're going to the Bahamas. Gee, damn it. I've been waiting a decade to go to the Bahamas with you. And that's like, I was excited, you know, Paul's back. But also at the same time, come on, go to the Bahamas with this woman, please.
And maybe Dallas or Houston isn't for another 9 to 10 days, and they still have 7 days to go to the Bahamas. It's
maybe,
very possible.
Maybe. But I mean, circling back to the beginning of the film, it's amazing that this is a sequel to The Hustler. But at the same time, I don't believe that Paul Newman, with as sexy and as confident and as handsome as he is, he's just a little, like, quote, lowly liquor salesman. Like, come on, this guy could be CEO of any company he wants.
In the opening scenes of The Hustler, they're in town for Paul Newman. He's like sold the most liquor that whiskey company has ever sold. So, but he's just like stopped at a bar to hustle before he goes to this award ceremony. But I'll tell you what I loved is not only the tutelage that Fast Eddie provides, but it's like the weird sexualized antagonistic relationship between him and Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. I mean, basically he sees right off that she's the brains of the organization and they immediately square off. Mm-hmm. And there's like a significant age gap and experience gap between them, but he treats her like an equal almost right away, and that's such a great layer to the movie.
And it was no more evident than when he walked in on the hotel room and she's in the bathroom topless, like drying off, and they lock eyes, and Vincent can't see this, but she knows full well that he can see her, you know, nude, and she like doesn't make a move to get out of sight. Mm-hmm. She uses this as like a play to now like ensnare him in her web, and he doesn't fall for it at all. I thought that was like the even better dynamic where he throws it back at her. Like, what do you expect me to do here? Just have sex with you immediately and I'm just going to fall for it? And she's like, wake up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was, I mean, the way he just like finally resolves it, because he knows she's trying that for half the movie. And then eventually like Vince is out with the Balabushka hustling and he like, she's on the sultry lane on the bed, chalk to him, and he just like drags her in the bathroom. He's like, you want to do this right now? You want to go? Let's get in the shower. And Lenny's like, I'm not playing this anymore. If you're going to be a manager, be a manager. Like, he's all about the hustle.
Yeah, that was amazing, because they were leading up to something like that. So I was wondering how it was going to play out. But the opening scene where he hears the crack of the break and he gets tunnel vision from the conversation with the woman about the liquor, and he's drawn in like it's a smell in a cartoon where he's not walking, he's just gliding to it.
Like
I thought that
wafting.
Was so well done about how he was sucked into it immediately. That was just, there's so many great Martin Scorsese tricks in this movie that he's known for in all of his films, that it was kind of like, you know, Casino is one of my favorite movies of all time, if not the favorite movie. And that's like perfect Scorsese. And I could see the seeds of a lot of that stuff in Color of Money.
I don't know about you guys, but I just want to go run and play nine ball for like 10 hours after watching this movie.
I feel like, I mean, the movie was, it was made in 86, so it was very 80s. But I feel like nine ball was is a thing of the past, like stayed in the 80s. I don't even know. It just feels like nine ball is a thing of the 80s.
I will say that when I was younger, when we used to go to the PA bars, we used to play nine ball or eight ball. Yeah, we used to play all the time. Like, I was one of those guys. I wasn't the skilled guy, but I used to play those guys, and I used to get pissed off when those guys would run the table at just some regular bar and just expect to play all night. It was really annoying. So I used to like play, you know, the guy that mouthed off to Tom, the really ugly guy, the skilled guy. Yeah. He's like, it just keeps getting worse and worse. Huh? Like, I played guys like that.
Really?
And it was, yeah. And I've been in the scenario where the Forrest Whitaker scene, where like he kept playing and just knew that like he couldn't win and he was just getting frustrated. Like, that scene was crazy because Paul Newman starts playing Forrest Whitaker. He plays a lot of guys at this one bar, and he eventually starts playing Forrest Whitaker, and you kind of get this. Forrest Whitaker is doing this amazing kind of, he always sounds like a drunk when he's playing him, and then eventually Forrest keeps winning and winning, and his persona shifts, and Paul Newman realizes that he's been hustled by Forrest Whitaker, and he's just totally broken.
Yeah.
That he, of all people, was hustled by someone at this stage. And just to see Paul Newman broken down into nothing, asking him, it's like, did you just hustle me? You know, and Forrest Whitaker wouldn't even answer him, and you just knew that he did.
Yeah, he wouldn't give him a straight answer. He asked like four times. It was so uncomfortable. I mean, Forrest Whitaker was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some pretty great trivia called about
this
film.
Then he went
to
go get the best 80s glasses in the world.
Oh my God, yeah.
Paul Newman, after watching Raging Bull, sent the novel The Color of Money to Scorsese so they could make this film together. It was their only collaboration.
Yeah, I was really, after that, I wondered why there weren't more collaborations, because I feel like Newman was so good that Scorsese would have had him in other films. I wonder why that wasn't the case.
Is this one of Newman's last films? I don't mean that because he passed away, but because didn't he retire from acting?
I'm not sure.
At a point. Another great tidbit was that Jake LaMotta, who, you know, of course, was the subject of Raging Bull, has a cameo as one of the bartenders who just keeps saying check. He says check a couple times in the background. I forget which bar they're at, but I guess LaMotta and Scorsese remained friends after Raging Bull. The line I mentioned earlier where Tom Cruise says Doom is waiting for him in the pool case was how the legendary video game Doom got its name. Apparently the developers, John Carmack and John Romero, are such revere this film so highly that when they were thinking of a name for their game, they used that line as the title. Newman and Tom Cruise did all the trick shots themselves for this film, save one.
Oh, that was another thing I was going to say, is the continuous shots of them pulling off those shots of like hitting five balls in a row. And that, just the amount of hours they must have spent training for this movie must have been bonkers.
It's, I just want to, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall of like every day when this film wrapped up and people probably just stuck around the shoe pool with one another and shoot the ass for like hours.
Yeah. Tom said he got that table and he put it in his apartment and he just played nonstop before acting in the role, and like during filming, he just played in his apartment nonstop, and he became like expert pool player.
Oh, I was wondering, as I was watching, I was like, I wonder if he's any good now.
Yeah.
Like, if he could play and beat, like, anyone in a bar. I mean, the one scene where he's doing the Bruce Lee stuff, I think he sank like six balls in a row, and he was doing those Bruce Lee moves in between every shot.
That was
one take.
They said he did every shot in the movie except for the one where he jumped the ball. And Scorsese was confident enough that he could do it, but it would just take him too long to learn it, and they needed to be done quick. So they had like a trick pool player come in and do that, but otherwise he made all his own shots.
Scorsese's only film to be under budget and wrap early.
Wow, that's interesting.
Was the color money?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a fantastic movie.
I enjoyed it. I think my initial perception screwed things up for me.
Yeah, same here.
And I was waiting for some big payoff that didn't really come in my kind of already set mind. And also, when they saw Paul Newman at Atlantic City sitting down, why weren't they surprised? Did I like drift off in the hallway scene where Tom's is flipping out? Did he tell them, he's like, I'm going to see you at Atlantic City? Because like they saw him in the bar at Atlantic City for the first time. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up?
And he says, like, he gives them the cash to go. And at some point he says he's going to confront them at Atlantic City. I remember that being a scene. Dale, tell me I'm right here.
Actually, I wish I could. I don't remember him ever committing to the fact that he was going to go to AC2.
Right. Like, I figured that they'd never see each other again. And when they see him again, it's like they just saw him 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was, because I would think back then, Tom Cruise would have not even known that Paul Newman started working towards being a pool player again.
Yeah, he's not checking his Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing updates.
You guys know what the next film is? You guys ready for this?
Tell me about it.
Cocktail.
Ooh.
I don't know. Dale might want to do a real actual episode for this one.
It is one of my favorite movies. And then
after that, Rain Man, and then Born on the 4th of July.
Oh God, it's getting real Vietnam. Good right now. There you have it. Another one of the books. Rogue Nation dropping next week. Gosh. We'll get to that in 2 years, maybe. We'll see everybody next
Kittredge,
time.
Kittredge, you've never seen me upset.
No,